Hi friends, it's Megan and you're listening to Just Fucking Whatever. Just adding a quick content warning, I will be talking about the death of a loved one in this episode, so if that is triggering to you in any way, please stop listening now. Some of you may have noticed the new intro. That is because I'm trying to change this podcast into something that matches where I am now in my life just a little bit better. I have had to do a lot of growing up in the past couple of months, and it has been a lot. But I decided that I wanted to change something that felt like it didn't really match who I was anymore into something good. And that's what I'm trying to do here. So I hope you all enjoy it. If not, I don't really care. Stop listening. Whatever. But yeah. So you're probably asking, Megan, what has happened in your life that has caused you to want to make these drastic changes? Short answer is my dad died. And it was awful. I got a call January 8th at about 11:30 p.m. And my mom, very calmly I might add, says, Megan, your dad had another heart episode and he did not survive. And then my heart stopped. Not literally, but it felt like absolutely everything I knew about the world was a lie, and I felt like I would literally never be okay again. I felt like I wouldn't be able to breathe ever again. I was screaming and crying and freaking out, and I called my best friend, and she was just like, Megan, throw a bunch of stuff in a bag, get in your car, and go home. I had already come back to my apartment at school, and it was the day before classes started, but I took about 2 weeks off, and my sister and I went back home, and yeah, bunch of other stuff, a lot of sad stuff, planning a funeral. My sister's birthday was the day before the funeral, actually, which is awful, completely awful, but we tried to do what we could to still make it her birthday, you know. But yeah, losing someone that important really does something crazy to your brain and to your outlook on life. I don't even recognize the person I used to be. I don't think she exists anymore, and I don't think she ever will again. But I'm not entirely sure that's a bad thing. I have become very picky about who I spend my time with. I mostly hang out in my apartment with my cat. I know, I'm super cool, right? But most people just don't get it. There's a select few who were there with me from the very beginning. They were the first people I talked to. One of my really good friends, he came down for the funeral. My best friend came for that whole weekend. She actually came by my apartment and picked up a bunch of stuff for me so I could have clothes, because when you pack in a hurry, you forget a lot of things. I forgot almost everything important, including socks, and my sister forgot underwear. So we had both of our best friends pick us up some stuff, but yeah. The first night after we got there, I went for a walk for a couple of hours, actually. I couldn't be in the house. I needed to be able to scream and cry and do what I needed to do. And then the next day, I called my dad's best friend, and I told him that he needed to sit down. And then I told him. I told him that his best friend in the world was dead, that his heart had killed him, and that I was really sorry. So yeah, that was not a fun conversation to have in the least. It was painful for both of us. But he's really stepped up and helped me. He actually helped me prepare for job interviews and helped my mom fix the fence. We've had a lot of good people taking care of us. One of my really good childhood friends came over a couple of days after it happened, and her mom had brought us food, and she came. As her mom was getting ready to leave, she walked in the door, and it was such a relief to see someone who loved us so much and who really wanted to make sure we were okay. She stayed and we watched Pirates of the Caribbean, and that was the first time I think we laughed since it happened. Just laughing about how absurd everything was, how someone dropping dead at 51 just makes no sense at all. Making dead dad pass jokes and yeah, just trying to feel a little bit better. There's not a whole lot better you can feel, but a little bit is good. And yeah, we had a bunch of family come in. They were super sweet, made sure we were taken care of, fed us, took care of mom. Her brother came and helped her sort out the financials. But yeah, no matter how many people were there, it still didn't feel right. It still didn't feel right to be home. Felt like half of me was missing, and I think it always will feel that way. We've now gone through two holidays since my dad passed, Valentine's Day and Easter. And both of them were pretty much awful. I'm not gonna lie, I cried my eyes out for both. I could hardly stand it because Valentine's Day, my dad used to get us cards and flowers. And during Easter, we would all dye eggs together and he would sit with us at church and put his arm around me. And you also talk about death a lot on Easter, and I was just like, wow, it's really freaking unfair that Jesus got to come back to life, but my dad doesn't. I know that doesn't make any sense to most people, but it made sense to me at the time. And now the big thing is my college graduation. And the person who most wanted to see me graduate as an engineer, the person who most wanted to be there to cheer me on, will not get to be there. He won't be in the crowd. He won't be there to hug me and tell me what a good job I did. He won't be there for me to thank. Because he's the reason I made it through. He's the reason I was even given this opportunity to go to school. And it hurts so much that even now, even weeks away, I just want it to be over. I just don't want to ever have to think about graduating ever again. And I was so excited for it. Now I just can't. I can't. I don't know if I'm gonna start crying during the ceremony or if I'm just not gonna be able to go to dinner after. I can't predict it now, but I know that I'm dreading it, and I know how much he wouldn't want me to dread it, which makes it so much harder. Where were we? Yeah, dead dad. Cool. So throughout the whole time that we were dealing with trying to plan a funeral and figuring out what to include and picking what to put in the obituary and pictures to put on his funeral page. I kept getting messages from people I did not ever want to hear from again. Some of them were very nice messages from people I do like and did appreciate their condolences, but please hear me when I say this, people. Nobody wants to hear from their ex, especially if it was not a good split, when their dad dies. I know that they probably thought they were being nice. I get and understand that. But by messaging me, "Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss," when you haven't spoken to me in months, you're making my dad's death about you. And that is kind of the most selfish thing any human being could possibly do. If you spent weeks on a tirade against me through your Instagram stories, I don't want to hear from you. Your condolences mean nothing. And even sending them very much enraged me. Likewise, if I haven't heard from you for months and we broke up because you absolutely refused to communicate with me at all, don't choose the first time that you decide to text me first to be when you're trying to make yourself feel less guilty about not being in my life when I need people. If you actually knew my dad, it's totally fine if you're texting me. If we talk a lot, or even like once a week, or even once a month, if we're still in contact and still on good terms, completely understandable that you want to send your condolences. I appreciated that. I very much did, even if I couldn't respond at the time because it was just too much. I appreciated it. But if I don't like you, and you know I don't like you, why? Why are you messaging me when I'm at my most emotionally vulnerable? It just did not make sense, and to this day, it does not make sense. My therapist tried to be like, "Well, Megan, you know, they're just trying to be nice." And I'm like, are they, Brie? Are they? Are they trying to be nice, or are they trying to feel better? Because it's not making me feel better. I never wanted to see their names pop up on my phone again, so I don't understand how it could possibly be to make me feel better. Especially if you were on a tirade against my father, if you hated his guts, I don't want to hear from you. There's no reason. None whatsoever. But I was too tired and too sad to even try and have a conflict, so I was just like, whatever, thanks. Or I just deleted the conversation and didn't address it because it's not my job anymore. But yeah, that was exhausting. And there's this face people give you, grief face. Ugh, the pity, the pure pity on their face when they're like, "I'm so sorry for your loss." It's infuriating for some reason. I simply cannot verbalize. I dreaded it. I didn't want to go out in public. I didn't want to tell people because I didn't want to have to deal with pity face. It was just constant and everywhere, and it's like you look at someone else and remember that your dad's dead because of the way they're looking at you. Now, I don't expect any of this to change. It's who we are. We're human. We do these things. We make these faces. But I don't know, maybe keep it in mind if your loved one loses someone. Don't do pity face. It kind of sucks. None of my super close friends at school gave me pity face, I will say. They were angels. They were just excited to see me again. I did have to go to cadaver lab, which was tough, especially because some of them die of heart-related issues, and you'll see a dissected heart on a table. They'll pass them around for you to hold. And, oh my God, I ran out of there crying. It was, one, very traumatizing, and two, very embarrassing, because I do not like crying in front of people. I have never liked crying in front of people. And it was very nice, though. One of the girls in my class came out and sat with me and started talking to me about her relationship drama, which actually helped so much more than I'm sure she thought it would. Just to have something else to focus on, to be distracted, was exactly what I needed. And the amazing, gorgeous, beautiful, fantastic doctor who was running the cadaver lab, she set me up with a different group of students working on facial dissections so that I wouldn't have to see any cardiothoracic dissections for the rest of the day. That was my cat being a jerk. But yeah, after that day, me and one of my best friends went to Walmart and bought a bunch of stuff we didn't need, including a plushie, and it was nice. Then I made dinner, we hung out, it was good fun. Good, good fun. And then I did have to go back to cadaver lab not too long ago. Well, have to get to. It is a tremendous privilege to be able to use, not use, but to be able to observe people's bodies that they've donated to science in order to further our education and to help us learn better and be able to save lives. It's an incredible gift, and it's one that I'm very seriously considering committing to. I do think I want to give my body to science. But it was still painful to be in cadaver lab, and it's still very heavy to know that they were people who had loved ones and lives and ambitions and goals. Thankfully, a lot of the bodies are older and died of natural-ish causes, but it still takes a toll on your psyche. I know the doctor who runs it, she sometimes paints the toenails of some of the patients, and she really cares about them. She really is thankful for the sacrifice they made and for the gift they gave all of her students. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been dealing with. And in the aftermath of everything, I don't know, I'm kind of just numb to most things, but I don't think it's really a bad thing. I don't care so much what people think of me. I don't care if I have a romantic partner. I don't care about anything except the fact that my mom and my sister are alive and healthy and safe, that my cat is alive and healthy and safe, that my best friends are always there for me and always willing to help me however they possibly can. And that I get the opportunity to keep living and to honor my dad in the choices I make and the things I do. I get to carry a piece of him with me everywhere. And I now have an extra special guardian angel watching over me. That's all for today's episode, I think. If I get too deep into it, I'll start to fall apart, but I hope you all maybe not enjoyed it, but possibly learned something from it, and I hope that you will be excited to kind of take this new turn with me and see where the journey goes. Okay, bye.